Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here today for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and for blessing me and for covering me. I also want to let those know that are listening to the show via either Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or through the emails that I'm sending you, I want to let you know that I do appreciate you. I also learned as I was going through my stats today that the numbers are looking very good, and that the show, the last time I was on, because I wasn't on last week, was heard mainly in the United States, Norway, Australia, United Kingdom, and the first time Jamaica was in the house, which is a place I need to go visit. So, again, I want to let you know that I appreciate you. I hope that you're finding this information to be very valuable and very helpful within your personal life or your relationships with others, which is why I do what I do. Now, today's topic has to do with people-pleasing behavior. And the show is basically entitled, Am I a People Pleaser? And this show is very important for a lot of reasons. Because first and foremost, as we know, pleasing God is one thing, but pleasing man can be a little different. Now, when it comes to the desire to make others happy, in most cases it can produce a good feeling, especially when the act of kindness is either appreciated or acknowledged. However, when the desire to please another makes the individual unhappy, frustrated, they can become angry, the desire can be more than just a system of a deeper issue, meaning why am I going out of my way to make other people happy? It could be the hope that saying yes to everyone asked or everything asked of them will make the individual either feel accepted and liked. It can also be a way of just wanting to have peace or avoid conflict. It has been indicated that people-pleasing behaviors is something that can develop without one even recognizing that it's a problem. Because sometimes your parents always tell you, do what I say do, and when somebody tells you to do something, you may be afraid to say no because you don't know what's going to happen in the long run. Now, many individuals may have a history of maltreatment or abuse somewhere that has happened in their lifetime along the way. It could also have just become a way of life for some individuals. And as I indicated earlier, sometimes many people confuse people-pleasing with being kind. However, there's a difference. It can lead to unhealthy behaviors, such as being concerned about what other people think of you, having one feeling like one is being manipulated by another. So, if you believe that you have the tendency, these tendencies, I want you to know you do have a choice. We're going to teach you today how to learn how to say no without being rude. So again, I want to thank you for listening. And if not, you can also share this information with others that you know may have the tendencies to try to please others. Because basically, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So let's learn to take care of ourselves first. Now, if you want to join in on a conversation, you can give me a call at 516-387-1914. Now, I do have some rules. All callers are welcome, but you do have to be respectful, and we also have to speak one at a time because we're not in the same place, so I want to make sure we're not talking all over everyone because I could do like the gong show. I can always press the mute button if you start getting out of control. So, let's get the show going. Again, if you want to call in, you can call in at 516-387-1914. If you are kind of shy and you don't really want to be on the air, because we can always go back and listen to these shows at any time, find out what they call it, the bleeps and blunders, you can send me an email at jabneylmft@gmail.com, and I will try to reach your question on the air if you have a question or you have something to say as it may relate to something or you have experienced or something you saw growing up as a kid. I have some information, and it says 10 signs that you are a people pleaser. Because as I mentioned before, a lot of times individuals don't even realize that what they're doing may later turn on into a problem. A lot of times we say, you know, people do things, they're being polite, we don't know individuals' love languages, but I want to give you these signs. Now, this is coming from, again, Psychology Today in regards to an article, and the individual that wrote the article basically indicated that they've seen people pleasers in their office over their course of therapy. And I myself, I'm also a licensed marriage family therapist with 5 different office locations. And I also see this a lot of times too. But the problem is when individuals come in for therapy, it could be anxiety, it could be relationship issues. Sometimes people pleasing wasn't really the problem. It was just their desire to make them happy was the symptoms, as we learned, of a deeper issue. It indicates that for many, the eagerness to please stems from self-worth issues. They hope that saying yes to everything that this asks of them will help them feel liked and accepted. Others, like we indicated, found that people pleasers, they may have had a history of maltreatment somewhere along the way, and they decided that it was in their best hope for better treatment was to try to please people who mistreated them. And over time, for them, people-pleasing just became a way of life. Now, many people-pleasers, like I said, confuse people-pleasing with kindness. When discussing their reluctance, they turn down someone's request for a favor. They say things like, gee, I don't want to seem like I'm selfish, or I just want to be a good person. I don't want them to be mad at me, or if I tell them no, because we've learned there's consequences. And also, they allow others to take advantage of them. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Compton, I did not like being told no. And my mother told me that no is an answer, just like yes. And I used to say, well, I don't like no. So I would just keep on and keep on and keep on until I got my yes or got what I wanted because, again, I did not, still don't like being told no. Now, people pleasing can be a serious problem as it can be a very hard habit to break. So I want to give you guys 10 signs that you may be trying too hard to please someone. And also, on my Facebook page, I got some information, and someone had told me, and I posted it, and it says, and it's biblical, he that pleases everyone pleases no one. So when you out there trying to make everybody else happy, you need to consider yourself too. So these are some of the 10 signs. One, you pretend to agree with everyone. Whenever you are in a situation or you're around individuals and they just throw things out there and you always agree, that can be a problem. I remember growing up, my grandmother had a friend. His name was Stonewall. And every time somebody would say something, Stonewall would say, I'll drink to that. I'll drink to that. My mother used to say, you'll drink to anything. And that kind of goes hand in hand with this agreeing with everyone on everything. When we start talking about agreeing, listening politely to others' opinion, even when you disagree, is a good social skill, but pretending to agree just because you want to be liked can cause you to engage in a behavior that can go against your values and your morals. So you got to be careful with that. You don't have to agree with everyone, but it is okay to disagree in a way that's respectful. Another sign. You feel responsible for how other people feel. Now, when we talk about being a parent and raising children, sometimes we find that to be a problem where we're constantly trying to make our kids happy and our kids are still not happy. Or we'll say, well, my teenager don't talk to me or they don't like sharing with me. But the problem with that is individuals are responsible for their own feelings. Now, it's healthy to recognize how your behavior may influence others. But thinking you have the power to make someone happy is a problem. It's up to each individual to be in charge of their own emotions. So sometimes people get to throwing their feelings out there and, oh, you, I don't want to piss them off, I don't want to make a mess, or I have to do this. Again, be careful with that, because that can be a problem if you feel responsible for how other people feel. Another one, you apologize often. A lot of times when I work with my clients, I always tell them, when people say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'll say, what you sorry about? My grandmother used to say, you're so sorry, you look sorry. But the problem is, if you are excessively blaming yourself, or you fear that other people are always blaming you, frequent apologies can be a sign of a bigger problem. You don't have to be sorry for being you. Because if you are who you are and you say what you mean, you don't have to apologize or always constantly saying you're sorry. Now, if you've offended someone and it wasn't your intentions, I always teach my clients by saying this. If I've said something or I've done something to have offended you, I apologize because that was not my intentions. But to constantly tell someone you're sorry when you don't even know what you did, what is the reason behind that? Another one, you feel burdened by the things you have to do. One of the biggest issues with a people pleaser is they constantly saying yes and taking on things, and then they feel that they're burdened because they become angry and frustrated because they got too much stuff down that they have to do. So you have to remember, you're in charge of how you spend your time. But if you're a people pleaser, there's a good chance your schedule is filled with activities that you think other people want you to do. And I got to say, I'm guilty of this as a therapist, because sometimes my schedule be so overbooked to where I'm constantly listening to what's going on, if I can help. But it's not to please the individuals. Part of it is we also have to make sure that we prioritize things. Another one, you can't say no. Whether you say yes and then actually follow through, or you later fake an illness to get out of your commitment, you'll never reach your goals if you cannot speak up for yourself. So sometimes it's okay to tell a person no. You don't always have to give them an explanation. But many individuals struggle with saying no. Another one, you feel uncomfortable if someone is angry at you. Just because someone is mad doesn't necessarily mean you did something wrong. But if you can't stand the thoughts of someone being displeased with you, you are more likely to compromise your values. And another one, you act like the people around you. We used to say growing up, don't be a follower, be a leader. That kind of takes me into that realm of acting like those around you. It's normal for other people to bring out different sides of your personality. But the problem is, with people pleasers, they often sabotage their own goals. As I'm looking at this article, it indicates that studies have shown that people pleasers engage in self-destructive behavior if they think it will help others feel more comfortable in social situations. For an example, people pleasers will eat more when they think it will make other people happy. So that means don't hang around me, because if you start eating up my food, I'm going to get mad. Sometimes they may go to bars or they may go to places that they normally wouldn't hang out with just to try to fit in. Another one, you need praise to feel good. Now, while praise and kind words can make another one feel good, people pleasers, where it becomes a problem is they depend on the validation. If your self-worth rests entirely on what other people think about you, that could be a problem. Because the issue is, sometimes people only feel good when others shower them with compliments. But when they don't shower you with the compliments, sometimes the people pleaser will do more, because it's one of those things like, look at me, and why you don't like me, or I know you don't want to be with me, and that could definitely be create a problem. Another one, you go to great lengths to avoid conflicts. It's one thing to not want to start a conflict, but avoiding conflicts at all costs means that you will struggle to stand up for things and the people you really believe in. So the problem is, conflicts are going to come. disagreements will happen. So you do not have to get to the point to where you have to please people all of the time. Now, another thing is you don't admit when your feelings are hurt. With a people pleaser, they don't want the other person to know or feel that they've done anything wrong, so they kind of suck up and take all the blame for things. Now, the problem is you cannot form authentic relationships with people unless you're willing to either speak up, sometimes say that your feelings are hurt or what the person may have done to hurt your feelings, denying that you're angry, sad, embarrassed, or disappointed, even when you're emotionally wounded, keeps a relationship superficial. Now, as we keep going on the radio, I'm going to be offering some information in regards to how to break free from people-pleasing because, like I said, when you know better, you do better. But you first have to, again, be able to identify that something is wrong and you want to do something about it. Now, if you're okay doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Like they say, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. So my mother used to say, if you like it, I love it. But if you want to do something about it or you want to change the way people are treating you, give me a call, 516-387-1914. Now, I'm going through some of this information that I have. And a lot of times we talk about behaviors, and some behaviors are learned, and the way we learn these behaviors is we often watch people demonstrate these behaviors, especially when we talk about our parents. You know, we watch what our parents do, sometimes we listen to some of the things that our parents may have said, and especially our culture. Now, I'm looking at some information, and it says, what is a people-pleaser's personality? Because it's like, was I born this way to please or serve, or was I created this way? Now, in regards to this personality, people pleasers have certain personality characteristics that are developed in childhood. They are often what you call a perfectionist, meaning these are individuals who were influenced by very demanding parental expectations, or they dealt with a lot of criticism. Pleasers often, but do not necessarily come from unhappy homes with high conflicts or emotionally distant parents, but sometimes they will go out of their way to try to make everybody in the home happy. So they take on these character roles. It could be, you know, not only just the people pleaser, but we got the hero, we got the enabler, we got the family clown. But the problem is with the people pleaser, that person have to realize that they do not have to be a pushover. They do not have to put themselves in a situation where they feel manipulated by others, and they can learn how to say no without being rude. Now, when we talk about just being rude, a lot of times there are some things that we can do, and I'm going to give you some ways of saying no without being rude. And this information was actually found on the internet. And it says, say it straight. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to be honest with what it is you're trying to say. We always say, let your yes be yes, your no's be no. Say what you mean what you say. Sometimes we have to buy time. Try to buy time in order to accommodate the new task or what it is you want to say. Get your thoughts together. Another thing you can do is watch your body language. A lot of times it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. They have another way of saying no without being rude, and they call it the sandwich method. Now, with the sandwich method, I'm trying to find what they mean by that because that's interesting. And then we also say, be ready for an explanation. Because a lot of times individuals, when you say no, they'll say why, especially a kid. Have a kid come ask you a question and you say no. Why? What would you mean no? So sometimes you may have to give them an explanation, and sometimes you can say, you know what? I am saying no because this may be in your best interest, and you don't always have to go into details. Now, when we talk about being manipulated by others, a lot of times individuals have a problem with that. And it may not be that the person may be trying to purposely manipulate you, but you also have to know the type of person that you are dealing with. Because why would you want to please a person that is not even worth your time to be even trying to spend all that time and energy on? It could be what you call a bad investment. So I'm going to give you some information in regards to how not to be manipulated by others. First of all, know your fundamental human rights. Sometimes we have to keep our distance. Avoid personalization and self-blame. Put the focus on them by asking probing questions. Use time to your advantage. Know how and when to say no and set consequences. Because if you do that, then they cannot manipulate you because they will know that you're not going to either fall for their buffoonery or they're not going to let you take advantage of them. I want to give you, when we talk about the probing or the questions, I want to give you some examples of some of those questions. Because one might say, okay, Jeanette, if I have to ask these questions, what are those questions or how can I phrase those particular questions? One of the questions could be, does this seem reasonable to you? Meaning, if they throw something at you, put it back to them. Or, does what you want from me sound fair? Or, do I have a say in this? Or, are you asking me or are you telling me? Another way. So, what do I get out of this? Now, sometimes that question can kind of piss a lot of people off. Like, what do you mean what I get, what you will get out of this? Another one. Are you really expecting me to either retaliate or what is it that you want from me? So those are some of the questions that you can ask. Because when you ask such questions, you're putting up a mirror so the manipulator can see the true nature of their ploy. And if the manipulator has a degree of self-awareness, he or she will likely either withdraw the demand and sometimes they may back down. Now, on the other hand, a truly pathological manipulator, such as a narcissist, will either dismiss your question and insist on getting their way. And if this occurs, sometimes we have to learn how to keep our power and, I want to say, kind of stay away from the narcissist, because a person with narcissistic personality disorder can be very difficult to please in the first place. So, again, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, give me a call, 516-387-1914. Now, I had some individuals that were supposed to join me on the show, but I see they have not basically contacted me yet. Now, talking about people pleasers, one of the things is, and as I was doing my research and getting some of this information, it says, like I said, how do I become a people pleaser? Normally, it kind of stems in childhood. Are you afraid of not living up to your expectations? When we talk about our expectations, we should have expectations for ourselves as well as others having expectations of us. Now, if you are finding that you're not meeting your expectations, then there is something that you may have to do in regards to that by going back to the drawing board and figuring out what is it that you deserve and how do you plan on getting to where you want to be. Another thing, what emotions come up when individuals feel that they are people-pleasing? You know, is that emotion anger? Is that emotion feeling unappreciated? Is that emotion, are you validated as you're giving? So, again, what are the emotions? Again, there's a big difference between doing good and people-pleasing. Take care of yourself and your own needs and assess your priorities. Now, we're talking about assessing your priorities. Also, assess your motive for why you are going so far as to trying to please the person. Okay, I got an email, and the email reads, I am married, and I have been married for 15 years. And I am seeing that I am constantly pleasing my husband, but yet my husband is not pleasing me. He do things such as always wanting me to prepare his meals, making sure that he gets fed first, and sometimes I feel more like a servant than I do a wife. Now, if any callers out there is experiencing this same situation where they feel like a servant and not a wife, again, give me a call, 516-387-1914. Now, I want to say to the person that sent me that email, you have to know, I want to say, your love language. When we talk about a love language, you can go online, you can Google, you want to find out your love language versus the other person's love language. Basically, we got what's called an act of service. Some people like quality time. So you want to know the person that you're dealing with. Do you feel that you're constantly giving and the person is giving you nothing in return? But you also want to make sure that you feel safe communicating your needs and your wants to this person. It's okay to cook dinner for your husband. It's okay to feed your husband first. Some people say we're going to feed the kids first. But I want to say, I don't want to rock the boat in what's going on in your home, but I would say be honest with your husband and let your husband know how it makes you feel when these things happen. Now, I just got a call, and let me knock this caller on. This seems kind of weird, but hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
You know, you're right about everything. You know, I went through the same situation myself for the longest time, you know, with my parents. You know, I tried to please them, well, my whole life, really, you know, and I just came to the point where I never could please them, no matter what I did. And, you know, when you were talking about the jokester, and you know, my oldest brother was the perfect child, and then my the one who was older than me was the prankster, and you know, I was the one who tried to fix everything in the family because we had the most a lot of people did, but you know, the most chaotic family ever, and I was the one who tried to fix everything for everybody, you know, at such a young age, and I couldn't fix it, but I tried everything. And that, from a young age, it carried, you know, over into my adulthood. And then I was trying to help everybody in the neighborhood and everybody on the job. And you know what I mean? And it drove me nuts.
And you know, and it's interesting you say
you
that, because that's what you call the family hero. The family hero is the one that tries to save the whole family. And they will go out of their way. And also sometimes what happens in situations with, especially with children, is one becomes what's called a parentified child, where the child starts acting like the adult and start taking on the adult role. And what happens is later on they start having, you know, symptoms or become angry or starting to have being resentful and feeling that they've been cheated and robbed, and they're constantly giving but not getting what they expect in return. And it can cause problems in relationships, which is one of the reasons why I chose to do this show and talk about this topic, is because a lot of times individuals don't realize you cannot go back and recreate your past, but you can go back and revisit, and your story can change because you start viewing it differently. Because you can look at it as a lesson and an experience, or you can stay stuck and continue the behaviors, which is what we say a habit. Now, what are some of the ways that you found to break free of your people-pleasing behaviors?
Well, it's funny you just said what you did, because I, for years, was full of rage, hate, anger. I mean, my wife, it's a wonder she didn't put me out with the Monday trash, you know, and I couldn't control it, you know. I mean, it was to the point where I honestly went on medication, you know, because I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, I mean, and you know, when I look back, it was silly, but I mean, my parents still got divorced. It's still, you know, my mother and father are still psychopaths, sociopaths. I mean, you know, I mean, and so the only one that it truly hurt was me. It hurt my wife. It hurt my children. And so, you know, you can't take back the years that you've wasted, or, you know, talking to me. But it was my wife, and, you know, and she just kept after me, you know, and she says, what are you doing? You can't, you cannot fix your parents. You can't fix your childhood. You can't, you know, what happened yesterday, you can't fix. And so, you know, and she's the one who actually, you know, I give the credit to, you know. And so it just took a lot of that. And so the true breaking point for me was I just knew that something had to give, because I was like a heart attack on a plate waiting to happen. You know, I mean, I couldn't take any more of it. And so I distanced myself from my parents. I distanced myself from my brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? Because the whole family just went out nuts. I mean, me included, you know what I mean? And so a lot of my brothers are alcoholics, and I mean, you know what I mean? So no stone left unturned. You know what I mean? It's just chaotic. And
And that's what happens in families, because one of the things is boundaries. When we're talking about people-pleasing behaviors and, you know, like trying to tell a person to stop, it's hard to stop what you're used to doing. And a lot of times individuals don't realize that it's unhealthy because you keep doing more of it and more of it. And then setting boundaries. And what happens is a lot of times instead of setting boundaries, we run. Because we think if we separate ourselves from this person, it's going to end. But we carry that baggage into the next relationship. And we keep repeating it.
And I was running. I was a good runner. Let me tell you what. I ran away 25, 30 times as a youngster, and I was running my whole life. And you know what? And when I finally stopped and turned around, because I was, no matter what happened in my life, I was still that five-year-old boy hiding in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally had the courage, you know, because nobody can do it for you. But when you finally stop, you know, those movies that run in your head and those names that you were called. But when you finally stop and say, no mom, no dad, no grandma, you know, whoever it was, when you stop and finally say, no, I've had enough, that's when something's going to change for you. And you have to turn around and you have to save that little boy or girl or whoever you are, because they saved you and now you have to save them. And, you know, your life is like an onion. And so as those thoughts come back, they come back for a reason. And I never knew, because I kept running, those reasons or those memories were things that helped me through life. And so they were learning lessons for me. And I was too, you know, I had my gym shoes on. I was running too fast in life to realize that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a wife that was very patient with you and helped you to see, and you was open-minded to where you was willing to listen and became aware of what was perhaps destroying you as a person and could have destroyed your marriage. And a lot of times individuals with that criticism can set them off too and take them back to their childhood to where they revisit and they relive that pain. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll be angry at the person for bringing it to their awareness, and they'll go run to the next person and do the same thing.
Yes.
And it keeps going and going and going. Now, and it definitely needs to stop. I always say when you know better, you do better. And even when we start talking about boundaries, sometimes even setting boundaries with your parents if your parents are alive. I remember when my mom passed, and the first thing I told her was, you know what? I told her before she passed, you will not hurt me anymore. Because I had to stop playing those tapes. I had to stop those recordings because we will start acting it out. Now, with unhealthy behavior, if you are an emotional caretaker for everyone who is important to you, sometimes you stop being a caretaker for yourself. And self-care is very important. So sometimes you have to ask yourself, if these individuals are really important to you, and if so, you have to realize it's not being selfish if you start taking care of yourself. You have to take a break. You have to separate yourself, because I'm at an age now where some of my friends' parents have passed away. Some of their parents may be ill, and they're taking care of their parents. And what happens is they're trying to make up their childhood with their parents, to meaning that sometimes if they had a bad childhood, they may treat their parents poorly. Or if they had a good childhood, they may try to want to give and overextend themselves. But they're so busy pleasing the parents, they stop taking care of themselves. And that could be a problem. It could definitely be a problem. Because one of the things when I was on Facebook and I saw a statement, and it said, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself first. So in order to give to someone else, you got to have something to give. You can't loan somebody no money if you don't have no money. So how can you give someone kindness if you're angry, if you're upset, if you're frustrated? You're going to start projecting that onto other people.
Right.
Another thing, a behavior that makes it unhealthy, is you don't like saying no. Now, on the job is where I find this to be very relevant, and sometimes even with your children. But if the person is working and they keep taking on these extra tasks or doing work for other people, why are you mad if you didn't say no? So people will be working overtime, they burnt out, they frustrated, and they want to blame everybody when all they had to do was say, you know what, I can't do this right now. I have enough that I have to
That's
take care
right.
of.
Or
what they'll do, like you said, they'll run. They will run. So, again, make your feelings and desires known. Establish and guard your personal boundaries. Keep your needs in the forefront so that saying no is possible. And exercise your power to say no. And exercise your choice to say no. Because it is a choice. You do not have to say yes to everything. And it can be, your no can be very powerful. Now, I want you to share with the listeners how your no has become powerful. How do you feel about yourself now that you've made these changes in your life?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I shouldn't be telling you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, my wife and I, we were taking a drive one day, and this is probably one of the worst times. We've been married a long time, you know, but this is probably one of the worst times that she really got mad with me. And she told me, and this is probably, I should put it on a wall here. She said, you know, your parents gave you that luggage, but you don't have to carry it through life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And, you know, when it hit me, it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's true. You know, all the names and all the things, you know, everything that they did, that's true. They gave it to me, but I've been carrying that heavy luggage a long, long time. And when I, you know what I mean? So when you get your head clear, and, you know, a lot of things, you know, I mean, meditation and a lot of different things, you know. But when I finally realized that, and I finally just said, hey, yes or no, you know, and when you friendly, you know, the first time you say it, it's a little scary, you know. But, I mean, when you say yes or no, and, you know, you just stand by it, yes or no. And now it's kind of like, you know, and I don't just blurt things out, but I just say yes or no. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a difference. You know, because you don't have to cower down like, yes, I'll do
difference.
It, I'll do it. You know, just like me, I'll do it. You know, just, hey, you know what? If you like me, you like me. And if you don't, you don't. I'm still going home, you know?
Man, you know, it's interesting you said that because I remember listening to Joe Osteen speak one time. And one of the things he said is when you first meet a person, or basically 25% of the people that you meet are not going to like you no matter what. They're just not going to like you. The other 25% will like you once they get to know you. The next 25% will not like you once they get to know you. And then there's going to be that last 25% that's going to like you no matter what. But they're there for a reason and a season. So when you're going out of your way, like, look at me, like me, all you're going to do is make yourself miserable. I also found some information. It says people pleasing hides the real you. So if you are putting on this facade, or you being fake and you being phony, and you going around trying to make everybody's day a better day but yourself, they don't get to know who you are. One of my co-therapists, she always say, treat yourself, bless them. It's okay to bless people with your presence and to help others, but you don't want to help others at the expense of your demise. You know, I remember years ago I was in a church, and I used to really feel bad for my pastor because I would watch him try to make all the older people happy. And it was like no matter what he did, they had something to say. And I was watching him such a people pleaser, it would get on my nerves. I would be like, you know what? You don't have to do all of this. No. You know, and it was bad because no matter what happened, it was like they were still going to be mad. My mother used to say they go talk about you anyway. They talked about Jesus. So all you're doing is making yourself miserable, but you have to realize you have a choice. You don't have to
do it.
And especially, like I said, even being a boss, I own two corporations. When I had a lot of employees, I remember my auntie told me, you're not supposed to like the boss. I'm like, well, what did I do? You know, I'm being nice. I'm buying lunch. I'm going to birthday parties. I'm doing and it wasn't that I was actually trying to please them. I felt that if they were happy, they would be motivated to do the work. Shoot, my mother told me one time, she said, they go do just as little to make sure they still get a paycheck. So sometimes no matter what you do, you are not going to make everybody happy. And especially those that are closest to you. Because some individuals are like leeches. They will drain you. Because no matter what, they're never going to be satisfied. Which brings me to one of the items that I found. Sometimes you have to learn to live with negativity. It doesn't mean you have to have negative people or negativity around you, but you have to know when it exists. Because you cannot keep making a person or try to make a person happy that's still walking around with a prune face. It's like you wasting your time.
That's right. That's right. That is true. And you know, even for me, when I learned to forgive myself and to understand that I didn't do anything wrong, and you know what I mean? That I'm telling you, you just feel so much better about yourself, and you look at things a whole lot different. And you know what I mean? It's just like a whole new world.
It is.
And I wish that for everybody, you know, there is no, you know, everybody looks for this magic pill or magic wand. There is no magic wand or pill or whatever, you know, everybody has it inside of themselves. And that's all, that's the magic pill or wand right there. You know, don't beat yourself up with the past. You know, look, there's a better future, you know, everything's better. You know, you can make it better if you just take the time.
You touched on something very important is that blame. A lot of times we blame ourselves for things that is not our fault. And I found some information, and it indicated, it says some of the problems we face are due to the people we embrace. Now, that is powerful. And you don't want to put the finger or point the finger back at them, but sometimes the people that we connect ourselves to, we don't need to be connected to. So that can alleviate some of our problems just due to the people we embrace. And we have to find another way of handling things because they can – I tell individuals, especially when I do my drug and alcohol groups, I tell them, don't let others infect you. Now, I didn't say us. I say infect because when they infect, it's like they're putting the poison and disease inside of you. And once you've cleaned yourself out, once you've done the work, you don't have to engage in that type of old behavior again. Now, I want to give the listeners some information, and it says 10 things to help you stop being a people pleaser. First, how did I become a people pleaser? How did that happen in the first place? Once you get to the root of the problem, that will help you first gain a sense of awareness. And you got to remember, when you whether it had to do with trying to reward or trying to make yourself look good in front of your family or whatever you did, you got to, once you develop maturity and emotional maturity, that will help you realize how you got there. The second thing, are you afraid of not living up to others' expectations? Again, find out what your expectations are of yourself. Talked about, how did you get out, or what do you get out of it? If you want something different, you got to do something different. Look like I lost my caller, and I appreciate my caller. And Thank you, caller, for calling in. I appreciate the conversation. Another one is that emotion. Now, I want to go back to even what I just said about the caller, because I did appreciate that caller. I have a co-therapist, and the one thing when we talk about people pleasing, my co-therapist always would say, I appreciate you. A lot of times we do things because we want to be appreciated. But what if that person never tells you that they appreciate you, or they never tell you that you did a good job? Do you keep doing more, or do you do less? That's a question I want you to think about, because a lot of times we keep giving, we keep doing, and we do all of these things. But again, what do you do in those situations? Now, I'm looking for some more emails. My phone just keep ringing off the hook, and I don't know why they want to do that. I have some information I want to share. And I talked a little bit about consider if you're being manipulated. Again, if you are being manipulated, you could do something about that. Set your priorities. Knowing your priorities and values will help you put the brakes on people pleasing. When you know, when you feel uncomfortable about something, stall, take a break, and ask yourself the most important thing is, how is this going to affect me? Or do I have time to do this? So be honest with yourself, because honesty is very important. Because if you're honest with yourself, it's easier for you to be honest with other people. Also, set a time limit. If you do agree to help out, set your time frame. A lot of times if you tell individuals, well, you know what, I can help you with this project. However, I don't have a lot of time, but maybe I can come by or I can stop by. Be honest with what you can do. A lot of times we overextend ourselves. And say no with conviction. The first no to anyone is always the hardest. And like the caller was saying, sometimes it's hard to do that. But you got to remember, you're saying no for good reasons. Sometimes you have to say it for yourself or for those that are around you that really want your help. And I always tell individuals, when you do things for others that they can do for themselves, sometimes you're not helping, you're hurting them. Another one is consider if it's worth it. When asserting yourself, one of the things that they indicate is it really worth it? It's probably not worth it to tell your boss about his or her annoying habits, but it's worth it to tell your friend or your loved one that you can't do it, and sometimes you can tell them why. Don't give fake excuses. It's interesting because a lot of times people don't know how to say no, and what they'll do is they'll lie. They'll come up with some type of excuse, and then always say, one lie leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. So if you tell a person, well, I can't do it because my mama's sick, and then you go around and you say something else about how your mama was doing da-da-da-da, they're like, well, I thought your mama was sick. So, again, that kind of goes back to honesty. So when you're honest with yourself, you can be honest with other people. Now, we don't have that much time left on the show, but, again, if you want to call in, you can give me a call at 516-387-1914. If you want to share some tips and tools or things that have worked for you or things that you've been told and things that you've seen in regards to how individuals have basically learned how to stop pleasing people. And somebody's calling me again. Okay, so again, let me throw some of this stuff out here. Assign, you put other people's needs before your own. You allow others to take advantage of your kindness. You avoid conflicts. You basically fail to take care of yourself while taking care of others. You feel guilty when you take care of yourself. Find it hard to say no. You do things without obligations. You stay in unsatisfying relationships or put yourself in bad situations. You are indecisive. You minimize your own feelings and needs. you worry about the future and have, you basically, you have a lot of uncertainty, and you compromise your values if it means that people will like you. Again, if that is what you're doing, here are 7 strategies to stop it. 1 is stop it. Literally stop it now and think about the time that you said yes and when you really wanted to say no. Another one, take your time. If someone asks you to do them a favor, take time to think about it and check your schedule. Be fair, meaning I'm being fair to myself and others in my life. So if I say yes, what is it going to compromise? Again, do not apologize. If you make a commitment or you have to say no, simply say, I'm sorry, or it's fine. That's okay. Again, start small. Limit your ability to help. Set a time limit or ask for assistance on small things. And it also indicates forget the fear. By forgetting the fear, if others get mad at you because you said no occasionally, they are not people that you should be surrounding yourself with anyway. And the 7th strategy to stop people pleasing is ask for help. Recognizing when it's too much to handle or if you need help is a sign of someone who is confident and assertive. And when we start talking about assertiveness, there's a difference between being assertive versus being aggressive versus being passive. And one of the things that we found when we talk about these type of personalities and also with individuals that communicate as such, most individuals that are very passive find themselves to be people pleasers. And again, you do not want to please individuals and yet make yourself miserable because, again, it leads to anger, it leads to resentment, it leads to strife, and it leads to individuals not taking care of themselves. So when you know better, you will do better. Now, I'm looking for some information, and I got a whole lot of information on here. And sometimes it says people don't change so people will like you. No, it says don't change so people will like you. Be yourself, and the right people that will love you will find you. And that's interesting. I'm looking at another, it's basically on people-pleasing images. The greatest prison people lie in is the fear of what other people think, and that's deep, especially when you're at the point to where you're so worried about what other people have to say about you. You feel trapped, you feel stuck. Another one, it goes into, give me 1 second. One of the things, I'm looking at an email, and as I'm looking at this email, it says, I overgeneralize, and a lot of times, not only overgeneralize, I overanalyze everything. How can I stop overanalyzing things and get rid of my people-pleasing behavior? Now, one of the things we're talking about is overanalyzing. When individuals overanalyze, what happens is they kind of stunt their ability to know their true self because they're constantly thinking about others, what other people are going to say. I call that being a worry wart. And you're constantly worried about what people are going to say, what people are going to do. So one of the things is, identify what you're feeling, identify what do you want, identify what do you need, and what you're afraid of. When you answer those initial responses, you will be able to know how to react instead of feeling, thinking, and reacting impulsively. Now, I have another caller calling in. Give me a second. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you have a question? Do you have something you want to share with the listeners as it relates to people-pleasing behavior?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I have a point I need to make. about people pleasing. It's to my learning that it's hard to please anyone. You know, matter of fact, it's really impossible because it's hard to even please yourself. You know, there's lots of little variables in pleasing yourself. We actually compromise our own judgment by saying we're pleased when really there's a lot of other voids involved. So to say that you can please someone else is like hypocritical.
It is. And not only that, because what happens is we talk about happiness. Well, I want to make them happy. I want to make them smile. No, we have to learn how to be in touch with our own feelings, our own emotions, and we have to own it. But see, the thing is, we talk about people pleasing. What happens is sometimes we feel the need to be nice almost all the time. And it's not about being nice. But it's like if you want to say no, but you don't say no because you don't want the other person to get mad at you, that's one of those things where you are looking at it and may not even identify it as you're trying to please them. But the bottom line is you didn't say no when you wanted to.
Could I interject?
You get in trouble.
Could I interject? Okay.
Yes.
It's a lot of times that you're led by a power greater than yourself to do for others irregardless to what you're thinking. And sometimes it's good to just let go and follow a direction, being obedient in that in that realm of entertaining, giving or pleasing. See, sometimes you don't even have to think about it. It's just that you actually get pleased by helping someone else. To see them smile, to see them react in a way where it was kind, generous, whatever you want to call it by name, sometimes it's not even the name that responds to your spirit and that inner peace that you get. Hold on, that inner peace that you get as if you're connected. Because most times we're living this life without a connection of something greater than ourselves. But when it happens, you can't really identify what had happened, but it made you feel so, distant from just being here that you actually feel something different than just a worldly type of feeling. You know, there's another sense that comes on. Let's put it like that. Let's say there's, you have all these sensory senses, but it's another sense that comes beyond that when you're at peace and everything seems just right without you making an effort. I believe that sense is beyond us, and it comes because we're in the relationship is we're actually plugged in.
Gotcha. That's healthy. That's not a problem. That's not being a people pleaser. When you do a mere act of kindness and you're doing it from the bottom of your heart, that's not people pleasing behavior. People pleasing behavior is when you're totally going out of your way, inconveniencing yourself to make others happy. There is a difference.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to get to that point because that's a like I say, a hypocritical point. You can't do it. So when you're doing it, you actually are not pleasing yourself, you know. You actually think
you're pleasing somebody else, but you're not pleasing yourself.
So it's hypocritical. But
the bottom line is, it's not to please you. It's the hope that they will be happy. It's the hope
You don't need to entertain that. Well, my point is you don't need to entertain something that's hypocritical. You need to entertain something that has validity, something that means something in the core of your person. See, it's the core issues that we're missing in conversation. The core is beyond us.
And
without us touching the core, we're actually just talking off the top of our head, which means nothing. It has nothing that's based on what life is all about. We're just living. It's a life beyond us.
I agree with
what you're saying. And I'm not trying to get real deep, deep, deep. I'm trying to hit the place where it started from. It's a creation type of it's a core.
Gotcha.
It's where
okay.
it starts from.
20,
you have to know where it starts, and you have to go there in order to address some of these issues that you're talking about. Hit the core
okay,
and come from the core portion so someone can get the message for real.
I got 10 seconds left on the show. I want to thank you for joining me at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we're going to be talking about anointed yet afflicted, that it's not easy being saved. So join me next week, Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until then, remember, you got this. Bye-bye.